Oh my gosh, I am so excited, Jude, for Dr. Mary Sanders, a medical intuitive. Now, I have no idea exactly what they do, so I'm so excited to find out what she does, working with energy medicine and positive psychology and coming from chiropractic medicine. So much.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't wait to hear her story because from what I saw on her website and through her Instagram page, she is a powerful woman. She is powerful.
So excited. So welcome, Mary Sanders, to What I Didn't Tell My Therapist. So excited to have you.
Thank you, Leela and Jude. It is my honor to be here today. And I am super excited because I just know with all of our backgrounds, we're going to have a very interesting conversation with some depth and some insight. So thank you so much for having me today.
Please. Yeah, indeed. What exactly is a medical intuitive? And how did you come to that? I know of Carolyn Mace, but nobody else on the planet that does that. So
sure. I think that is a loaded question, Leela. And I want to answer that question just as directly as I can. But before I start talking about the things that are so considered to be woo-woo and out there and unseen, I'd like to start a little bit, if it's okay with you, I'd like to start a little bit with my background as to where I started and how I got to where I am today.
Yes.
And quite honestly, before I share the story, I could not have planned this journey. This journey was completely organic, serendipitous, and it was divinely led. So as a medical intuitive today, I started with a traditional background and degree in chiropractic. Now, I have to start my story even earlier. So just stay with me. Here's I promise go. To come back.
I will start to take notes, though.
So don't let me scare you, but I'm going to go back to when I was 3 years old. And I was born hearing impaired. And I went undiagnosed in my family as being hearing impaired for the first 3 years of my life. Oh, wow. So essentially, I hear half of what a normal hearing person hears. So I spent the first 3 years with living in this spiritual domain, connecting in this physical world with what is unseen. Now, I know that now, but my family didn't understand what was happening to me. They didn't even understand that I couldn't even hear, let alone interpret, you know, the world surrounding me. So I've always had a fond respect for what is not seen because I've been so intimately connected with the unseen spiritual world. I made a conscious choice at the age of 3 to be mainstreamed within my family. And so what that meant contractually for me was to desensitize my intuitive awareness. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of that family, of my family. So I made that conscious decision. And as I grew up, I literally would have, you know, spurts of spontaneous clairvoyance or direct knowing. And I didn't know where this information was coming from. And it's not as though I could sit down at the dinner table and have this conversation amongst my Catholic family. That just was not acceptable. So I did my thing. I was a dutiful daughter and I excelled academically, even though I was hearing impaired. I was mainstreamed with my education, but I always had this sense of awareness that I was brought into this world in order to have my hands on people. I knew that. I knew that I've always been touching people. I was the kind of girl that would stand at church, stand in the pews, right? I had no idea that this guy in front of me was trying to deliver a message. I was in my own little fantasy world. And I literally would stand between my mom and I would hold my right hand with my mom's hand. And I would hold my dad's left hand, you know, with my left hand. And I literally would take my mom's energy and run it through my system and then zap my dad. And then I would take my dad's energy, run it through my system, and zap my mom. Okay. So this was my game. This is how I entertained myself through the sermons. I laugh because, you know, we'll, as children, we'll do what children do, right? So let's see. I knew that I wanted to have my hand on people. So organically, it led me into wanting to be a chiropractor. I didn't know essentially what a chiropractor does, but when I arrived at the ripe age of, I guess I must have been 21 when I enrolled in chiropractic school, I had already studied in undergraduate chemistry and zoology. So, I mean, I was hardcore science. And then when I got into chiropractic school, all of a sudden, everybody there on campus was talking about this universal life force, the life force that runs within all of us, that we as humans have the ability to heal ourselves. And so I knew that I was in the right place at the right time. So I finally got my hands on people and I started to feel energy and I started to move energy and I started to play with energy. So I was starting to open up to some of the senses that I had desensitized from when I was a little girl. So I graduated from chiropractic school. I was 25 years old and I decided to do the smart thing and go immediately to being self-employed. So the school of hard knocks, right? I learned what you're not supposed to do. I had a few successes and a lot of mistakes, and I stuck with it for probably 23 years. So as a direct result of perseverance and resilience and just the motivation to continue, I ended up having a rather thriving practice. So I created this, what I say in love and kindness, like this little beast, right? It had a heartbeat of its own. It had like demands of its own. It was essentially my little child. So what ended up happening was that I had a rather large practice, my signature practice. And then I decided to do what I thought was the right thing, opened up a second practice. So I was managing two practices. And then I decided that I should start consulting other chiropractors in the startup industry. So you can imagine that here I am spreading the wire thinner and thinner and thinner. And my demands for myself and the expectations and the level of perfectionism went over the top, way over the top. And consequently, that led me into an intense phase of burnout. I didn't realize it, that that was what was going on. I was so stubborn and so resistant to slowing down that I literally chose to ignore all of the signals that my body was trying to tell me. How I did that, I have no idea. Why I did that, I do not know. However, it did force me, because I ignored so many messages, ultimately my body, the universe, everybody said, time out. You physically cannot function anymore. So you are flatlined. And when I say flatlined, I was flatlined. I literally could not walk a mile. I could not stay without having the necessary caffeine, without having the, you know, my 4 a.m. caffeine, with my 3 o'clock chocolate, with my 6 o'clock wine, with my really disruptive sleep, and then my a.m. coffee. And then it was just a vicious cycle that I went down. And to make a long story short, I remember this evening very clearly. I came home one night after a long, busy day at work, and I was sitting face to face with my husband over the dinner table, and I had my head propped up on my hand, and I literally was falling asleep over the dinner table in the middle of having conversation. And I would wake up and my husband would be like, so what's your answer? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What's my answer? We were in the middle of having a conversation. I asked you a question. What's your answer? And I'm like, I am so sorry. I just have to go to bed. And it was at this time my husband got frustrated with me. And he's like, listen, if you don't make some changes, if we don't make some changes, then you're really physically going to make yourself ill. You think going through your adrenal exhaustion is hell? Then wait until something else worse happens. And he also knew, I knew emotionally my relationships were suffering, my marriage was suffering. And he asked me over the dinner table, he was like, listen, if you could leave it all, would you? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not leaving this. I have spent the last 22, 23 years creating this. This is my baby. I'm not leaving it. So to make a long story short, he was interviewing to be a headmaster in international schools, and he landed a position in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. And he looked at me and he said, we're leaving in a month. Are you with me or are you not? And I made that decision. I'm with you. I'm with you. I have no idea what the next chapter looks like, but I'm with you. And somehow, some way, within that short amount of time, I sold my practices. We got rid of all of our material possessions and boom, off we go. So I landed on the other side of the world in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, right? After I got acclimated to the time zone changes. And I was like, what's next? And then a couple more days later, I was like, who am I? What am I doing? Why am I here? What am I going to do? And I went through a huge identity crisis. I was miserable. I had no idea who or what I stood for or what my purpose in life was. So I had to do some soul digging. And so I left him in Ho Chi Minh City and I went to Bali, Indonesia. And there I got my yoga teacher certification, which was fine. But more importantly, I got introduced to meditation. So I came back after being in Bali for, let's say, 8 weeks, and I landed back in Ho Chi Minh City, and all I did was meditated. And things started to change. And I was like, what's happening here? I don't understand physiologically what's going on within my body. What is happening? And so I found myself realizing, looking, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm like, wow, I know the body really well from the neck on down. I know my anatomy. I know my physiology. I know how the human body structurally works. But what happens from the neck on up? What happens within the brain? What is the neuroscience behind meditation? What is neuroplasticity? And so I started doing some research and I stumbled across, I thought it was just a clever name, but it was called the Whole Being Institute. And part of the Whole Being Institute was a certification in positive psychology with Taubin Shahar. So I was like, wow, okay, I think that's my next step. So I flew from Ho Chi Minh City to Lenox, Massachusetts and started the program. And then I went back and I started teaching my husband all about the fascinations of what was happening within the field of positive psychology. This was new to both of us. And so he was like, oh my God, I'm so in love with this. He's like, how can we bring positive psychology into the field of education? Because he was a headmaster of an international school. And so then we started to realize that there was a new trend happening within what was now called positive education. And it started in Geelong Grammar School in Australia. And so then we said, okay, this is awesome. We're at the forefront of this industry. Why don't we put together a nonprofit organization that teaches teachers the tools of mindfulness, resilience, tapping into their strengths, and learning how to bring meditation into the classroom and yoga into the classroom. And so then we said, okay, this is pretty cool. Now, if we can teach teachers how to do this, then embody it and stand in front of these kids, then the kids will then start to imitate and to look at their teachers as role models. So we then left Vietnam. We took all of our stuff and we moved to Colombia in South America, where we lived in Bogota. And it was in Bogota that we started piloting our positive psychology 9-month program to teachers. And it took off. So here I am, a non-Spanish speaking person creating content for Latin America, for South America. So as fast as I could create the content, it was being translated into Spanish. And then it got picked up by a large conglomerate of schools in Peru. So we had no plan for this. We had no idea that this was going to happen, but I just kind of flowed with it. And so I was doing the content. I didn't really necessarily get to do the delivery within the schools, but I was part of something that what I thought was pretty magical. So about that time, I was like, okay, this is great, but this is still in alignment with my husband's profession. This is in education. I have a desire to still hold space for people in their healing journey. How can I show up authentically? And then I was like, okay, I got the human body from the neck on down. I now understand what's happening within the brain. Now, what's happening in the space that I can't see surrounding my physical body? What's happening within the energetic system? So then I was like, all right. I went and I completed my master's in intuition medicine. I enrolled in the Academy of Intuition Medicine and studied under Dr. Francesca McCartney in Sausalito, California. And I knew, because we were living a nomadic lifestyle, I did my training remotely. And I knew that if I was going to step into the world of healing again, I wanted a modality that I could embrace where it was non-location specific. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to learn this, because I still was wrapping around the mindset as to how does energy really travel in the non-linear dimension of time and space. So I started to go through some energetic transformations. I started to see physical changes within my body. I started to see limiting belief systems dissipating. So I'm like, this stuff works. This stuff works. So then we continued to do our travels. We left Colombia and then we decided to go to Bali, Indonesia. So I had an opportunity for a year to embrace and totally submerge myself doing yoga and meditation all day long for 11 months. And I was also doing my training at that time. So the integration process was really, really very permeable. And then we left Bali. We came back into South America for just about 9 months. And then we decided to travel Europe. And we did Europe for 18 months. And at this time, I was like, okay, so how are we going to make this affordable? We have our nonprofit going on, but we really do need to be mindful about finances. So we became part of an organization called, Jude, you probably are aware of this, and this is Trusted House Sitters. Mm-hmm. We decided to take care of people's homes and pets while they traveled in exchange for a place to live in their place. So we did 15 different sits, 18 different countries, probably within a matter of a year to a year and a half. And I started to really observe from the human energetic system within different countries, started to observe the interactions of how people, the dynamics of how people can come together. So fascinating to me. So here we are, because of COVID, we're now back in the United States. Our US visa couldn't take us anywhere other than back to the US. And I've now opened up a small little practice here in Boulder, but I spend the majority of my time working as a medical intuitive and holding space for my international clients. That's more information than what you wanted to have, but there you have it. You can ask me anything from here on out.
There's so much energy in here. I love it. That is just incredible. Like all the journey, that then it's funny how one things connect to the other one, and then we don't realize, and you just grow and build, and bam, 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 and then boom. That is magical. That's so beautiful.
Thank you. And as I said from the very beginning, Jude, yeah. I could not have strategically planned this. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had to start with the science background in order to get to where I am with my life experiences.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, even though I know divinely that I am in alignment with my purpose, my mission, quite honestly, I'm just an average 50-year-old woman who's here to bridge the gap between the science world of hardcore science and the science which is yet to be proven. Right. And that's what, and I know within every cell of my being that there are studies and there's research and science that's happening right now to be able to prove the electromagnetic current that runs within us and surrounds all of us every single day. And that connects us into a greater energetic field that we can tap into at any point in time.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yes.
No, it is super exciting, right? I felt... we have something in common, that was the burnout. The funny fact is that I knew that I was burning out. Like, I knew that I was going to break from a moment to the other one. And I was already breaking, but I was still continuing, not respecting. And as happened with you, also my boyfriend said, look, you need to chill out or you're gonna ruin everything. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to him during that time. So for me, that was like totally burnout. I didn't want to know anything about meditation, anything about life coaching, anything. Like, people were talking, you know, yoga. I was like, I don't want to know anything because I already went over the limits that was inside of me, not respecting. And I think that, and please correct me, when we work puts a lot of energy and that we stay with people, there is one part of us that we just wanted to help, and we don't understand that sometimes we need to stop and help ourselves first to be able to help someone else in front of us.
Jude, that observation is something that I wish for all people.
Yeah.
I wish that every person, I don't care what service industry, and I believe that all of us are in the industry to serve others in some capacity. And the mindset, unfortunately, is to give and to provide and to be all for other people before we fill ourselves up first. Mm-hmm. And I learned something when I was at the academy, and I think that this is so important. And that the second chakra, when we start talking about the energy centers, and we'll dive into those a little bit deeper, but the second one, which sits right below the navel, is most intimately connected with our deepest desires. Mm-hmm. However, that is where people experience and develop their clairsentience. Mm-hmm. And so that's the ability to read another person. You know, you can read them emotionally, or you learn how to read a room, or you learn to say, oh, Jude, I feel that you are carrying a heavy burden. Let me carry that for you. And as the direct result, you'll feel better. But what that means is, from an energetic perspective, is that that energy center then opens, okay, to a degree in which is unhealthy. And you begin to take on other people's energies, and you forget what is yours and what is theirs. And so then all of the sudden, you're managing everybody else's energies, yeah, and you don't know what's yours. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm tired. I'm really tired. I'm like physically exhausted from carrying everybody's energy. And then you're like, I don't know if what I'm doing is making a difference. You get really cynical. And then it becomes, oh, I don't think I'm being very effective in my job anyway. And I'm not sure if my job is aligning with my purpose. And I know that I'm just tired.
Yeah.
That's burnout.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that lesson off and on. You know, we do these loops, right? And I think what happens a lot, especially with children that are growing up with parents that are perhaps preoccupied or like overworked or whatever, is they take on their parents' energy in order to fit in and to survive. They think like, oh, I'm just going to please my parent, and they lose track of themselves. And then you carry that tendency on throughout adulthood. And I think the last time that I was like, enough, was I was actually pursuing photography. I'd gone to grad school for interior design and that didn't quite work out. And then I was like, how about architectural photography? And I like dived in a weekend and just was like driving myself crazy. And I'm like, hold on, nobody's giving me a deadline. I don't want to make something that I love into something I hate. And that at that point I was like, no more. I'm never going to work myself so hard that I turn what I absolutely love into something I hate. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people. They love what they're doing initially, but then they spread themselves so thin.
And Lila, I'd like to expand upon the comment that you made about the looping and how it's a learned behavior. And I have a personal story that I'd like to share. Maybe some of the listeners can relate to it. And that as a young girl, we already, you know, determined that I was hearing impaired. And I was the youngest of three girls. And my father was what would have been called a functional alcoholic. So children that are of a prodigy of substance abuse or emotional abuse, they learn very quickly to read the energy of the people in the environment that they're around, correct?
Yes.
And so I couldn't hear him, my father, walk into the house, but I could sense and feel and notice the changes within the disposition of my three sisters and my mother. So I was like, what just happened? And then I was able to piece it together. Oh yeah, dad just came home. So I think that that is the looping or the behavior, the wiring that gets set within the individual that as a child, who then matures into an adult, still is looking for those same triggers, for those same neurological trauma-driven pathways. And then because you know how to do it, there comes into the element, and you didn't use this word, Lila, but perfectionism.
Right. Exactly.
Then we learn how to be such a way, to do such a thing, to avoid or to assist any of the emotional trauma that surrounds us. And then we get to be so good at it that we excel at it to the point that we become over-perfectionistic surrounding our behaviors. That's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfectionism is seen as, well, it's vaunted. It's encouraged in our society, but really it's a toxic mindset because perfection does not actually exist. It's a relative idea. What's perfect for you is not perfect for me, but we have this idea, especially promoted by media and so forth and so on. And I think a lot of people, they go after this media commodity of what perfection is, nuclear family, the white picket fence, whatever. And then they get there and they're like, I'm not happy yet.
Yet.
Exactly. Yeah, chasing
there's always
it.
This yet, uh-huh. yet. It's incredible. Like I see my brother, he's in my family. I'm a Latino, I'm Brazilian. I never know if Brazil is Latino or not. Like when I say to a Brazilian is Latino, they look at me and say, no, we are Brazilians. Okay. But in my culture, anyone from the poorest to the richest, we have this idea that we need to be perfect. You need to dress well, you need to talk well, you need to go to not a good school, but study to be someone. And for instance, in my family, my mother was always having this competitive kind of relationship with her sisters, like my son does this, my son does that. And she was always putting in my mind and in the way that I grew up, you don't need to show your weaknesses. You need to be strong. You need to have a house, be rich. And well, thanks God I'm out from that kind of vision of how it's supposed to be life. But I see my brother that he's constantly inside of that loop of, I need to be perfect. Everything is perfect. I need to show up. I need to show my new car. I need to show my holiday because I need to be perfect. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. And the other day, I don't speak that much with my brother because we are too different. So we get in an argument in 2 seconds. So For me, it's like, hello, how are you? Good. Well, thank you. Bye. But that time we just sat down, and like a few days ago, we just sat down and he said to me, you know, I have everything, but I'm not happy. And I said, yes, my dear, because you are always looking for something that you actually don't need because you're not connecting with yourself. And he looked at me and he's like, he said, what are you talking about? So I was like, okay, so let me explain to you how it works life. You don't need this and that. And he was mesmerized by the fact that he grew up with the media, with the television, with my family saying that to be happy, you need to have this and that. And not that happiness is something personal. Like I can be happy in my own way, he can be happy in his own way. But he never arrived to think that. And there is always this, it's kind of sick perfectionism.
Yeah.
That just, it breaks people. Much more in Italy than there. Everyone wants to be perfect in here. But, yeah.
Yes, it's an idea that's infecting the world, really.
Yeah, right now. But just imagine, and with all these social media, TikTok and Reels, like I scroll it just because, you know, when I don't have anything to do, I do it. But then I have that judgmental thing of, why the hell you are in the camera repeating the same thing that thousands of people did, just for what? Like, and then probably if I go in front of you and I talk normally, you don't know what to say. You will probably say to me, you know, TikTok, TikTok and TikTok. And it's incredible how in this pandemic that helped us to stop and understand what our values, somehow to other people, they just completely blank their mind and they started to be more, I wanted to be someone, I want to be like that one, I want to have what that person have, completely numbing their life and completely probably burning out in a bit, you know? But yeah.
Beautiful observation, Jude. And I think that overcoming perfectionism is super hard. And I do think that social media is a necessary evil. And I realized because I have a desire to impact people on a global spectrum, I play a part within Instagram. I play my part in Facebook. And I slip into this mindset when I am looking at other people's reels that they have something that I don't have. Mm-hmm. And then I'm realizing that the authentic expression of self is very rarely displayed on social media. So the thought, the fallacy of everything is at this happy vibration, I know intellectually that that is not the case. The spectrum of human emotions gets to be displayed some way, shape, or form, whether it be displayed in movement and words and thoughts and art and however it is displayed. And it's not, happiness is not just a state of mind, it is a whole body experience. And when we tap into that authentic happiness, that's when we finally get to discover who we are. It's challenging though. I mean, in an effort to keep it real here on this podcast, it is hard. And that's why I find it's so important. And this is one of the greatest benefits that I enjoy in being a guest on podcasts such as yours, in that I get to talk to like-minded people that can communicate some sense to me to reinforce what I know experientially to be the truth, and that sometimes we just lose sight of it. So much gratitude to both of you for, at least for me today, you're making a huge difference.
Oh.
Well,
we are.
Yes, of course.
Of course we are.
We're all making a great difference. Well, one thing that Jude and I share that wasn't a choice of ours is our bipolar reality. So we know very well that there's a large spectrum of emotions that one can experience. And part of what I like to break down from that diagnosis is it's the disorder part that's the problem, not the bipolar. that's just saying, hey, we're capable of experiencing life from a very sort of low, quote unquote, low energy experience all the way up to like euphoric. And that if you have a clear consciousness, you can go in either direction and you can surf. It's the disorder where you're not able to manage. Because like, say for myself, since 2013, I lost, I don't know, 7 people plus 2 fur babies in my life. And of course, when you have depths of grief, and to deny yourself that is denying the connection and the preciousness of life. And thank goodness I had found how to heal myself in that energetic paradigm so that I could go to these very deep places and understand the wisdom of that and come up for breaths of air and not feel overwhelmed and in total confusion. I already knew from like decades of experiencing depression for years off and on, and then going down into it and then coming back up and going down and coming back up, and also learning to manage those euphoric heights of just like, oh my goodness, how beautiful this life is. I'm still alive, even though I lost these people. Well, not really. Energetically, they're still in around us, but yeah, it's really important for people to understand the richness of emotional and energetic experience. And that's why it's so exciting to talk to you.
Leela, I have to applaud you. And what you're describing to all of us is the ability to auto-regulate the energetic systems, which does take time and experience in order to express those emotions and to be able to regulate and to go to the depths and go to the heights and being able to come back and meet us somewhere in the middle. That's remarkable. And I applaud you, because most people would just choose to medicate right from the very beginning, not wanting to experience those emotions. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. I mean, meditation was really a lot of my spiritual healing, but I used it as a way to understand what balance was rather than trying. I mean, at points you need a break. So meditation is sort of this safe place where you can go and understand, oh, within there's always peace, but at the same time, we can't always live there. We have to deal with life as it presents us. So what kind of tools do you bring into your practice for you? You mentioned you help women in burnout. So what kind of tools do you use to help women?
There are quite a few tools. I'll talk about a few of them here today. The first tool that I love tremendously, and Jude, this will go back to what we were talking about earlier in the necessity, our desire to carry other people's energy. One of the first things that I teach my women that I support is how to mutually separate themselves energetically from other people. And it's a simple process of gifting back to them all the energy that you've shared and then receiving the energy back, you know, from them back to you into your rightful energetic sphere. And then being able to hold clear boundaries as to what's yours, what's you versus what's others. So, and I learned that term neutral separation at the academy, but I know in other texts it can be referred to as many different things, but that technique is so helpful on a daily basis, just with the people that you meet in the grocery store, to the interactions that you have with loved ones, to the people that you're of service to professionally, to neutrally separate from all these people every day and to reclaim what is rightfully yours is a gift. And it's a necessity. So that's one tool. And there are some relationships in which we just need to mutually separate more on a frequent basis. And that creates more healthy boundaries for us as well. I do also support women in trying to find their space for a meditation practice. It looks and feels different for all people, but I want my desire is to support the women in creating some silence in a moment of observation to view and to witness from a sacred space the emotions and the thoughts that do come up, and to pay attention to them, not to ignore them, but to honor them in some way, shape, or form. So I do support women in wanting to find their sacred space and their meditation practice. I also enjoy supporting women in balancing the masculine and feminine energies within their system. If we were to list out what Jude defines as masculine, what I define as masculine, and what Leela defines as masculine, it's different for all three of us. And the same is true, Leela's definition of feminine, my definition of feminine, and Jude's definition. And what we will find, and I hope that each individual human spirit will acknowledge that there is no division between masculine and feminine, and that there is this interwoven interconnectivity that happens. It's not either good nor bad. It's not different. It is one within all of us. So how we choose to show up professionally and in relations with other people is from a non-dualistic perspective. Looking at mindset and memories, where did we inherit these memories? Is it something that we've experienced, self-inflicted this lifetime? Is it an ancestral memory? Is it something that we picked up in our DNA? Is it karmic memory? Is it universal memories? And how can we overcome those memories, and how can we find the linkage within our physical body as to where those memories are housed? So that gives us an opportunity to do some healing around trauma or belief systems or mindset. Those are some real basic ones. I do hope, and I want to educate the general public at large, but women and specifically, as to how to cleanse and charge their energy system, how to dump some of the junk that no longer serves them and their highest good, so that they can become a little bit more clear and essentially radiate more of their original essence, the frequency that they were designed to live this lifetime, in order to attract those people and those environments and those situations that help serve them to their highest good. I'll stop there.
Yes. We don't want to open all the box.
it's a Pandora's box.
And do an amazing session in here for everyone, for free, now. Well, in the gender side, I am a gender queer. I don't feel as a man, I don't feel as a woman. Sometimes I feel as a man, and sometimes I feel as a woman. And then when I look to the woman's world, I see how much the man actually broke all that energy and destroyed. As much as sometimes I don't like my mother, in the end of the day, my mother had the power to put me in this world with all the struggles, with pregnancy that was not the best and all of this, but she has that huge power. And I think that men, if you're listening to this podcast, you should respect that power since the beginning, because they are the one that create us. Women are the one that create us. Yes, we just give a little help, but it's nothing as 9 months with someone growing in you. And it's not even that. And then the after, the unconditional love. And I found it all so powerful. Like, I love when I see, as you are doing, a sacred space for women, like to understand the power is so amazing. So amazing.
So many things.
Yeah, so many things.
So is there anything that you would like to promote, or a special message that you want to share with our audience?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I have decided to niche down in my world to support women over 40 who are looking to overcome burnout and achieve health, happiness, and purpose. I feel comfortable in that realm because I have lived it. I have experiential wisdom that I want to share with women. And if I can help them to avoid some of the heartaches and the pains that I experienced, then the world does not need to crash. They don't have to move to the other side of the world in order to overcome burnout. So the approach that I bring to this niche includes primarily energy medicine. So being able to hold space for this cellular transformation is a big deal for me. And then also implementing some positive psychology and also using some functional blood chemistry analysis. I believe that the energetic system is so intimately connected into our endocrine system that it serves us to know from a chemical standpoint as to where our hormones are as we transition, as we age, so that we can balance them with functional nutrition and nutraceuticals to the best of our ability. That only makes all the other work that we do to be more synergistic. And so, you know, by definition, synergy is the outcome of is greater than any of the individual components of that system. So when I hold space for women, I want to educate them about the integrative approaches. Now, let's just face it. This is not mainstream yet. Mm-hmm. Not mainstream. It should be. So I do what is called a five-day boot camp, where essentially we go from burnout to balance. The purpose is to cultivate an awareness for women so that they understand that there are more additional tools that they have available to them. Again, we go through the 5 days from a very integrative approach. The first day is all about the overview, and we give a quiz, which essentially will allow the woman to like give themselves a rating as to where they fall within the spectrum of burnout. And maybe they're not burnout. Maybe they're in a state of overwhelm because they're imbalanced in their work life in following their passion. That might be a little bit more where I'm currently at today, but it looks different for all women, right? So then we say, okay, well, what does the transformation look like spiritually? What do we need to incorporate spiritually? What do we need to incorporate physically? What do we need to incorporate mentally? So within these 5 days, we talk about the tools and the integration and the approach. This boot camp, I actually have one starting on Monday, the 18th, and I've decided to host it in the evening at 6:30 in Mountain Time. But then what I really wanted to do was to start the day at 5:45 a.m. with a group meditation so that women can start to see how meditation doesn't take an hour, it doesn't take a half hour. We can set the intention of a meditation in 15 minutes for our day. And this boot camp leads into what I call my signature program, where that's Bounce Back from Burnout. And that's a 5 month long program. And that starts on Tuesday, the 9th of August. And it's designed to be 5 months so that we can do the necessary functional blood chemistry so that we can see what's happening, so that we can do the assessment as to what's working within their current life. What do they have already in place that we can maximize? That's part of the positive psychology component. And then we start to, I have another assessment that revolves around the human energetic system. So we start looking at the energy systems as to what's in excess and what's in deficiency, and looking to balance the energetic system so that they can then show up full of themselves. So within those 5 months, we do 8 90-minute one-on-one energetic healings. We do 5 group 90-minute calls to teach some energy medicine tools. And then we stay in communication via an interactive Facebook group so that we can create sustainable behavioral changes. And collectively, as women, I think that we are just designed to be a group support. So I'm hoping that that creates the individual outcomes for the women to achieve the goals that they want. That's what I've got going on right now. There's one more thing I do want to say. Just this last week on my website, I started to promote a retreat that I'm co-hosting in Blue Osa, Costa Rica, in March of 2023. Jude, I saw that face. I saw that face.
I'm there. When you said Costa Rica, I was like, okay. Like, I think that Costa Rica is calling me. Like, many people are talking about it. So I think that the energy is saying,
yeah,
you need to be there.
So what I think, I'm super excited about it because we were able to secure the entire resort just for our group. And it's on the furthest southwestern peninsula. So it's really very, very nature oriented. So we will be able to soak up all of Mother Earth's frequency and to just fill ourselves up. The retreat will be designed in such a way that the energy medicine techniques will be taught in the morning, and then we'll have some integration time over the afternoon. And then we come together to open up our physical bodies, doing some yin yoga and create some expansion that way. So I'm beyond excited. As I said, I'm a co-host. My friend Kathleen, who is also a graduate of the Academy, and she's a phenomenal body worker, and she's all things energy. So between the two of us, I'm just looking for some really magical things to happen. I'm super excited.
Yeah, sounds amazing. And where can people find you?
Leela, like I mentioned, I'm all over social media. So, and this is coming from a person who was void social media for many, many years. On Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at dr.maryesanders.
Okay. Yeah. And your website is?
My website is drmarysanders.com. So there's no period after the DR and there's no E. So my website always has current up-to-date information of all the various different events. And so those are the places that I'm most prominent right now. And I'm always, always, I love connecting with people of like-minded viewpoints, or if they want more additional information, there's discovery call opportunities throughout all the social media and on the website. And that's just an opportunity, you know, free of charge for us to connect, to know and to experience, to see and sense that there's a resonance between us.
Mary, it's like you are talking and I can feel the energy. Boom, boom, boom. It's incredible. You are beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
So powerful. It's incredible. Please, people, check that out. Check that out.
Yes, I see. We're both glowing from just having you on.
Oh, thank you. And I know that is a tremendous and a huge compliment to me. It has taken me so long to get here. As the pathway has been up and down and all around, let me tell you, it is refreshing to finally have a sense of ownership and alignment with my purpose. So I believe that all of us have that capacity. It's just the ability and the desire to open up to it.
Thank you so much for sharing all your story and all your wisdom with us. And you'll probably be seeing at least one or two of us as clients in the future.
Yeah, I'm in Costa Rica already.
Manifest, right?
Yeah, manifestation.
Absolutely. It would always, is always my honor to hold sacred space and to have the opportunity to greet people from a spirit to spirit level is absolutely priceless and something that I hold very close to my heart.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I can see that you're feeling better now, Jude, after yeah, after our lovely interview with Dr. Mary Sanders.
Well, let me tell you this, like when she started to talk about her life experience and the journey, the beautiful journey, I could feel constantly this wave of energy coming out from the screen and just going boom, boom, like, wake up, Jude, wake up, Jude, wake up, Jude, wake up.
Yeah.
So full of wisdom and such a beautiful and powerful human being. it's really difficult to find someone in the screen that can really share that energy, you know.
Yeah.
It's a screen, it's not reality. So I can just imagine how it would be for the people that we do the retreat with her in August. Mm-hmm. And the one in Costa Rica as well, how would be powerful that energy.
Yeah, yeah. And Costa Rica is an amazing country, and their whole motto of the country is pura vida, which is pure life. You're just like in it. It sounds like an incredibly magical experience that I'm sure people will enjoy. So happy that you guys have joined us for this energetic bath of lusciousness.
Yeah.
And where can we find ourselves?
Let me think. Not on Google Maps nowadays. No. So people, you can find us in all podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. But also, if you wanted to connect and see our reels and see the faces of our guests, you can check our Instagram page. That is What I Didn't Tell My Therapist. But if you want to connect with Leela, you can go to
Instagram at My Piece of Sanity, and my website is leeladavis.com. And also,
where did we find me? Well, so for the moment, and people don't freak out, like I do have a website. I'm just rebuilding the website. So if you go to healingwithjude.com and you can find anything, that is totally normal. Okay? Don't freak out. I'm still there. But if you want to connect with me right now, you go to Instagram and it's jude_gorini_.
Yes, and stay tuned for a YouTube channel with backlogs of shows, so you'll be able to see the full YouTube visual experience. Stay tuned, though. I'm not quite sure when I'm going to be finished with that. Maybe within the month we'll have some shows, including this one. So thank you so much, lovely, crazy, beautiful soul.
Yes, thank you. Mwah.